This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
RingCentral will completely transform the way you work. It gives you built-in AI across all your business conversations. Your phone system has an AI receptionist that answers calls 24/7. Your video meetings have AI that takes notes instantly. Even your contact center has AI, so you can help customers faster. It all comes together in one reliable platform for effortless AI communications. See for yourself at ringcentral.com. RingCentral, voice of your business.
8 Jaguars, 4 weeks. Yamava Resort and Casino at San Manuel is giving away 2 Jaguars every Thursday starting January 8th. Club Serrano members, play to earn entries for your chance to win a new luxury crossover SUV. Join for free today and don't miss your chance to drive off in a Jaguar. More cars, more chances to win. Only at Yamava Resort and Casino, celebrating its 40th anniversary. You in? Details at yamava.com. Must be 21 to enter. Please gamble responsibly.
Sports Radio 93.7 The Fan, Donnie Football in for Pony and Chris on this New Year's Day 2026. Thanks for spending the first day of the calendar year with us. Dom DiTommaso is with me behind the glass. A big college football day already. 2 upsets in the college football playoff in the quarterfinal round. Miami beating Ohio State last night in the Cotton Bowl. And earlier today, Oregon shutting out Texas Tech in the 5-4 matchup, 23-0. The Rose Bowl getting set in just a few moments from a rainy Pasadena. Dom and I both think that Alabama will keep the trend going and be the team that's fresh and not coming off a month-long break that gets the win here. And then the game later on tonight, the Sugar Bowl between Ole Miss and Georgia. Joining us right now is our guy Nick Faribault from PennLive.com, fresh out of Steelers practice. Nick, first, just as an aside here, college football question, do you get the feeling that they might have to change the structure of this thing pretty soon? The teams with a bye are 0-6 so far.
Yeah, a lot of them come out rusty. Like, you can tell it takes them a little bit of time to get the engine going. I don't know, you know, if they're going to necessarily have to change it. I mean, outside of maybe, what do? Expand to 16 and then you just have each team face a team in the first round. There is no bye. I guess that could be it. I don't think they're going to push it up or anything like that. I don't think that is going to happen because it doesn't fit the competitive window that they're hoping to kind of maximize viewership and dollars and things like that. So there's always a tough curve there. I don't know. I think the next 2 games, I think we're going to get the 2 bye teams to win. I like Indiana and Georgia, so we'll see how strong that is after today.
Nick, to the Steelers now, how's that injury report looking on the Thursday before the big Sunday night football clash against Baltimore?
I mean, I think it looks about as good as it can outside of, you know, DK Metcalf suspension and Darnell Washington being hurt. I think it looks about as good as it can. You know, TJ Watt's out there. Brandon Echols is out there. Calvin Austin's out there. Isaac Samuel is out there. No James Pierre today. I think that was the one thing that kind of popped up that was amazing. Now, did they give him a rest day to rest the calf? We'll see. But I also think that might be the least consequential of all the guys we're talking about. Asante Samuel Jr. has played pretty well in his opportunities. So as long as Brandon Echols is back in the slot, you can kick Jalen Ramsey to safety. I think that's big. I think T.J. Watt will play. If you heard Terrell Austin talk today, he basically said it'll be good to have T.J. Watt back. We just don't know in what capacity. That tells me that T.J. Watt is going to play this week, and that's to be expected. And I think Isaac Seumalo and Calvin Austin III will also play this week. So this is going to be about as healthy of a team as you can get on some of the significant injuries and the guys on IR. And so we'll see where things go. But I think they're going to get most of their guys back.
Yeah, we are going to hear from both of the coordinators in the next hour. We'll take a listen to some of the comments they had with Steelers media earlier today. So you think TJ Watt plays? How much does he play? You know, what kind of snap count range do you have in your head right now?
Around 50%, I think, is about right. I think he's going to be pretty up to date in terms of just his conditioning. He's not going to be fully there. I don't think he's going to play like 90% of the snaps like he does, because he's an iron titan when he's out there usually. But I do think he'll play, you know, 50%, maybe slightly below that. I think he'll probably get the start. So he'll be out there with Alex Highsmith to start the game, is my guess. And then you see Herbig and Sawyer come in as kind of that works. So I fully expect TJ Watt to get a pretty healthy workload on Sunday against the Ravens, and he'll play a good bit, but it depends on how good his football conditioning is. And it's a little different too once you start getting hit. How does that withstand when he starts to tackle guys and take on blockers and space and things of that nature? We'll see where all that kind of hits up, but I'm expecting a pretty healthy dose of TJ Watt.
Speaking of football conditioning, something pretty impressive, and you put this out there a couple of hours ago, Nick. Cam Hayward, who is 36 years old, leading the NFL in snap counts among interior defensive linemen, 785 snaps this season, still playing at a pretty high level. I know that the sack numbers may not be there, but Cam is having a better season than I think people want to give him credit for, all because of the late offseason stuff, for instance. But man, I mean, how does he continue to do it? Every single year he's doing this stuff.
It's crazy, man. He's 36 years old, soon to be 37, and we're talking about a guy that is an Iron Man. I mean, I'll tell you this right now. I think Steelers MVP will be announced tomorrow. They'll announce their MVP, who the team voted for. Will it probably be Aaron Rodgers? Yes. I know I would vote for Cam Hayward. I just think what he brings to the table, I mean, you talk about the amount of snaps he plays. He is the glue to the defense. Without him, this defense would fall off a cliff. He's an elite run defender. He's still an above-average pass rusher. He's been getting better as the season goes along. I mean, you would think, Donnie, 36 years old, he would start out hot and then wear down as the season goes on. He's getting better. It makes no sense. Now, I know why he's really good. It's because power ages gracefully. Guys that have elite power like Cam age extremely well. J.J. Watt could still be playing right now at a high level if he wanted to, because he was that type of player too. Calais Campbell's doing the same thing. Calais Campbell's 39 years old and still, I think he put 6.5 sacks this year with the Cardinals. He's still a good player. Cam can do that too if he wants to. He's going to be that type of player. And so to be so good at 36 is an accomplishment of itself. To be this high-level conditioning, I mean, how many times, Donnie, in a game do you just see him come out of nowhere from the backside of a play down the field and make a tackle? You're like, the motor never quits. This guy never quits. He gives his all every game he's out there. So, you know, he wears his heart on his sleeve, and I respect that about Cam Hayward.
Yeah, I mean, I do love that, you know, no matter what, you know that Cam is going to be somebody that is, you know, chasing a dude down the field. Whether or not he catches him is one thing, but he's never going to be a guy that just dogs it on a given play. How much has he been, important and, you know, a mentorship in a way to the young guys along that defensive line, most specifically there, Derek Harmon, the rookie, who has been pretty good in his first season?
Yeah, I mean, having a guy like Cam that could teach you the tricks of the trade is so important, I think. Just to have a guy, when you are, you know, you can deal with peaks and valleys more with young guys if they have a veteran they can lean on, right? They're not going to get rattled confidence-wise. They're not going to act like everything is doom and gloom. And I think that's what's happened with Harmon. You know, he's been a guy that has had a mentor who's very similar stylistically to him, because I think, you know, when we talk about Harmon, he's a power guy, right? That's the type of guy he projects as. And so he's learning from a guy that is directly his, essentially spiritual type of player. And so I think that's perfect for him. Same thing with Keanu Benton. When Keanu Benton was young and now he's getting a little more older, I think that's helping. I think it's helping Y.A. Black. I think it helps all those young guys, because really, you know, all the veteran pieces the Steelers have brought in have been hurt. Loudermilk's hurt. Lowry came in. He got hurt. Ekwuale's out for the year. Like, they all got hurt. And so they've had to go down the depth chart to guys like Logan Lee is Ezeo Otomewo. And those guys are young. And so, you know, they've kind of leaned on Cam to be the veteran sage, as you will, and all those guys. But really, Derek Carmen and Y.A. Black, especially, learning from them.
Talking to Nick Farabaugh here on Sports Radio 93.7 The Fan. He covers the Steelers for PennLive.com. Somebody else on that defense, Nick, that I think has been playing some really good football, at least in the back half of the year after a bit of a rocky start. I feel like Joey Porter Jr. is actually having a really impressive third season.
He is. Listen, I still see people saying, well, all the DPI penalties. Pat Surtain has more DPI penalties this year than Joey Porter Jr. Joey Porter Jr. has cut down on the penalties significantly this year. And not only that, he's gotten back to the way he was his freshman year, well, his rookie year.
Yeah.
When you think about it, and remember how consistent he was his rookie year? Like, you never really had to worry about a guy just cooking Joey Porter Jr. There was one game I can remember his rookie year against Amari Cooper where he struggled, but outside of that, he was really good. And I just feel like this year, it really hasn't mattered who you put in front of Joey. He just steps up to the table. You know, whenever he was on Higgins or Chase in those games, he did a great job. It wasn't him getting burnt. It was other people. When he steps up against guys like Amon-Ra St. Brown, I mean, he had a few key plays against Amon-Ra St. Brown in that game. This is a guy that just runs to the challenge, and he just trusts his technique more. He's always been really good at the line of scrimmage, but I think now you're seeing him just trust it down the field more. He's getting his head around. It hasn't necessarily worked in terms of picks. It's just dealt with more PBUs, less DPIs, less holding calls, all those things. And so when he does get a penalty, it's a calculated risk that doesn't hurt the team as much, right? And so I think that's the real smart thing. He's become a smart, heady player. Now, the tackling, I think the actual tackling itself hasn't been bad, like when he is at the spot to tackle. I think it's been getting to the tackle. He's had some run defense issues, I think, just in terms of angles and kind of understanding fits off the edge. But he's actually been a pretty good tackler this year, too. So he's become a really valuable piece to this defense. And this is the consistent player I think the Steelers were hoping they were getting. I mean, if you're going and you're honestly examining the guys that could get extensions this offseason, I think 24 might be at the top of the list.
Somebody else in that same draft class, Darnell Washington, he is done for the season. The broken arm suffered in the loss against the Browns. So the big tight end, former third-round pick, that has been so useful, not only in the run game as a blocker, but has emerged as a decent target in the pass game. Just how big of a loss is the big fella to this offense?
Significantly. He is a huge loss. When you think of Darnell Washington, you think of a guy that just changes the math in the run game, right? I mean, how many guys are 6'7", 315 pounds? I just think that he's like an extra offensive lineman. The bulk he has, the way he clears edges gives the Steelers so many different ways they can run different schematics. I think that is the big thing when you think about Darnell Washington. And then the other thing is he's not a total 9-0 as a pass catcher, right? He can work over the middle. He can work in the flat. He's a terror to tackle in space. He's basically like a free lifeline for Aaron Rodgers at any point to just throw it up to. He's 6'7" and unstoppable in many respects in space. So it's a big loss for them, man. But I do think they have pieces in this tight end room, particularly Pat Freiermuth, who can be utilized in a different way. It's not going to be the same way. They're going to have to find ways to utilize it. I think you could tweak the roles of guys like Spencer Anderson around it. And certainly I think you could feature Pat Freiermuth more to still have a viable pass game weapon at tight end. And one that has been sorely underutilized all year. So it's a big loss, but the Steelers don't have nothing there. They still have stuff they can work with.
Yeah, do you think this benefits Freiermuth and Jonnu Smith?
Yeah, I do. Listen, this should benefit Pat Freiermuth. I think Pat Freiermuth has to be, right now, he has to be a malcontent, but he's not showing it. He's been a true pro. He's been a guy that's been a team player. You haven't heard Pat Freiermuth complain once about his usage. But you got to, at some point, know that he probably is not happy about it. And so, to me, this has to be the week, right? You're talking about a team that has struggled in man-to-man coverage. You're talking about a guy in Pat Freiermuth who has won against man-to-man coverage. He's also a zone killer. But he's a guy on choice routes that really dices up safeties and linebackers. You saw what he did against the Browns when they actually targeted him. When they have actually targeted him this year, he has made opportunities. And so, yeah, this should be big for him. As for Jonnu Smith, I'm just expecting him to get his usual kind of screens, jet sweeps. The toss is now out of the backfield. He's kind of your manufactured touch guy in this offense. And so I think that's where his role is. But I think Freiermuth picks up more of the route tree that Darnell had when he was split out.
I will have you give your official prediction here in just a minute, Nick. But first, if the Steelers lose this game, is it the final time we see Aaron Rodgers either in a Steelers uniform and or in the NFL?
Yeah, I mean, that's the tough thing right now, right? A lot of mixed signals going around about this. I can't even tell you for sure, you know, if he'll be back or not. My guess is he comes back one more year. I know, you know, before the season he said he was pretty sure this was the last rodeo. I think he's having a lot of fun playing football still. I think he has seen this year that he still has enough in the tank. He's not what he used to be, but he still has enough in the tank to be a quarterback that can win games for a team. And so I think he is at least going to – I'm leaning right now that he is going to play next year. I do think there's a chance that maybe he goes to, you know, a Minnesota or something, or at least vets that option. But right now.
Uh-oh. Oh, I think we just hit the rare moment in time where one guest cuts off another. Yeah, that's the downfall of the video function that we do have. Steve Palazzolo from the 33rd team joins us in just a couple of minutes. Dom, I'll shoot Nick a text and tell him that we'll talk next week at some point. Fan text line, you can hit us up there at 412-928-9370. That's brought to you by Edgar Snyder and Associates, a personal injury law firm where they always say there's never a fee unless we get money for you. Steve Palazzolo, 2 minutes away, right here on Sports Radio, 93.7 The Fan.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average, and auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
RingCentral's AI receptionist uses voice AI to answer on the first ring, so you'll never miss a call again. In just a few minutes, you can personalize your own AI receptionist to answer questions, route calls, schedule appointments, and even send texts in multiple languages. Plus, it's easy to scale. Create unlimited AI receptionists across any phone system. It's all powered by one reliable platform for effortless AI communications. See for yourself at ringcentral.com. RingCentral, voice of your business.
8 Jaguars, 4 weeks. Yamava Resort and Casino at San Manuel is giving away 2 Jaguars every Thursday starting January 8th. Club Serrano members, play to earn entries for your chance to win a new luxury crossover SUV. Join for free today and don't miss your chance to drive off in a Jaguar. More cars, more chances to win, only at Yamava Resort and Casino, celebrating its 40th anniversary. You in? Details at yamava.com. Must be 21 to enter. Please gamble responsibly.
Fan Hotline is presented by Sullivan Super Service, Pittsburgh's trusted plumbing and HVAC provider for over 50 years. Donnie in for the guys on this New Year's Day, 2026. I've made it a habit to hosting on New Year's Day over the last couple of years. I may have taken last year off. I'd have to look back. I can't remember, but it's been pretty consistent for me on New Year's Day, so we keep that going. Dom DiTommaso with me behind the glass. Joining us right now is our guy Steve Palazzolo. He joins us every Thursday right around this time. Steve, something that I want to ask you about, knowing that you are a fan of classic pro wrestling. I don't know if you had a Peacock subscription. I don't know if you had WWE Network before that. But now it's just all gone. Like, we don't know where the library of old wrestling content is going. So Is that something that's on your radar that you're concerned about going into 2026? Because I know you're a fan.
Yeah, very concerned. I have one of my best friends worked for Comcast forever, you know, Comcast, NBC, so big WWF, WCW fan. So he's been trying to keep me updated. He doesn't know. We don't know where the library is going. Nobody knows. Rumors that some stuff showed up on Netflix, but it's just piecemeal, just a few pay-per-views. It's very concerning that the library that's been available for about a decade is just, we don't know where it's going.
Yeah, WWE Network was so ahead of its time. I mean, they really were on the cutting edge of that, like over, what, it was like 2014, I think, that came out. And now look at how everything is streaming. I mean, they really did set the tone because I do know, and I always enjoy, I don't know if you sent a tweet about him on Sunday because he did make some big plays, but I have seen you tweet about Alex Wright before, not to be yes, confused with the old WCW foreigner.
Every time Alex Wright has a big play for the Browns, I try to post Alex Wright, the wrestler, and his special dance moves and everything. Yeah, the YouTube, though, if you have the WWE Vault and like their WCW equivalent on YouTube, has just been unleashing pay-per-views and various things over the last year or so. So I think they've been prepping for this. So there might be some sort of free version of the a big chunk of the archive, maybe.
Okay. Yeah. I mean, I may have to just go with the I may have to pay for the ad free YouTube, though, because, you know, if I try to watch something like that on YouTube, I watch a lot of old Steeler games on YouTube. The ads are just such a pain. I mean, it's every 30 seconds. It drives me nuts. So I'll probably just have to pay for that. But speaking of the Steelers-Browns matchup, going back to last Sunday, Alex Wright did have some big plays in that game. How much of an impact, when you watch that game back, did Myles Garrett have on the Steelers' game plan or lack thereof? You know, they take out the game's best player. They scored 6 points. So how much of an impact did the guy have despite not showing anything on the stat sheet?
Yeah, I think both sides of it are kind of true, where I've heard some Steelers fans say, look, we do this every time we face Myles Garrett. Generally do a pretty good job of not letting him sack the quarterback, always give him extra attention, and that's what every team does. I was more concerned with, within the play, the way Rodgers played. It was like he was trying to get rid of it quickly, and I know there's probably a lack of trust with his receivers, and there's no DK Metcalf. There's other confounding variables here. It just felt like, in addition to the extra attention, rolling away from him, running away from him, when the play was happening, a little bit of – it was almost like Rodgers was looking back when Alex Wright did sack him. It was like, oh, thank God, it's only 91, not number 95. You know, you just – I sensed that. Didn't you sense that? They were worried, not from a game plan perspective, but within the play, and it wasn't, let's execute the best play. Like Joe Burrow said this week, hey, I'm going to let it rip. Like, Burrow's going to sit in there and take a hit if he has to. And if he gets sacked. I think the Steelers were missing some of that last week.
Yeah, I mean, I had my tinfoil hat on, and I know that plenty out there thought it was ridiculous to throw it out there that, man, they're so concerned about this guy breaking the record on them that it seems like it's taking away from what they wanted to do. I mean, if they were going to play like that and look like that offensively, they should have sent Mason Rudolph out there on the first play to just sacrifice himself and take the sack. Because it really looked like, to me, they were so worried about the record being broken that they compromised what they could do offensively.
And then I would say the other element of it, you know, look, when we talk about Hall of Fame quarterbacks, we can nitpick a little bit. When Aaron Rodgers is clearly in this echelon of Tom Brady and Peyton Manning and Drew Brees and these greats through the years, but I think where he's lacked compared to them, you look at his numbers in fourth quarter comebacks and when the game's on the line, and it's just not in the same ballpark as Brady and Manning and Brees and some of these other guys. And you got some of that in this game as well, where it's just fourth and one, low percentage shots, low percentage back shoulders at various points. You're just not seeing the game management from Rodgers in that game because, yeah, I don't, if it was it because he was just trying to get rid of the ball, whatever it is. But a lot of these Rodgers offenses through the years under Mike McCarthy, under Matt LaFleur, last year with the Jets, turn into him having to make a special throw into a tight window, which he's capable of, but inherently it's low percentage. It's not going to get picked, but it's low percentage. And I think he just morphed back into that guy on Sunday against the Browns.
And how much of them not having DK Metcalf played a factor in what we saw or didn't see from the wide receivers that were in the game?
I think it's a huge factor. I mean, that was what unlocked them in recent weeks, the back shoulders, the vertical throws to DK, a couple shot plays here and there. I thought they did a nice job the last few weeks compared to early in the year. Remember, they were feeding him a bunch of screens and putting him in the slot and moving him around. They moved him outside. They started throwing the ball down the field. I think that did unlock the offense. And when you don't have that, and now this offense is like, hey, I hope Jaylen Warren makes a big play after the catch, or I hope Valdes-Scantling catches the ball, that's a challenge, right? So, yeah, I think not having DK is a huge factor, both last week and going into this game against the Ravens.
Talking to our guy Steve Palazzolo from the 33rd team, Check the Mic podcast. Steve, Aaron Rodgers spoke yesterday, and he kind of sounded like a guy that might come back for another season. Is he playing well enough that the Steelers should, you know, if he wanted to play for roughly the same terms, you know, a one-year deal, like $13 million, should they go for that with him?
I mean, maybe. If they're going to draft somebody like Ty Simpson's playing right now, and if you draft a Ty Simpson and you redshirt him for a year and do one more year of Aaron Rodgers, I just think they're in this cycle, though, where they feel like an 8-10 win team, right? No, they'll never win 8 games, though, with Mike Tomlin. So a 9-10 win team at best, that's what they are. It's probably the ceiling for Rodgers. He's playing okay, but he got injured at one point. He didn't play well at all in the middle of the season. I think you get a similar Rodgers. And if you – some advanced numbers like QBR, which is a pretty good efficiency metric, say Rodgers hasn't played well since 2021. So depending on which numbers you use, I think he's been better than that number. But we're talking like QBR from ESPN has him as a bottom 8 quarterback for his last 3 years as a starter, 2022, 24, and this year. And it's a concern, right? It's a concern because his playing style is a little boom or bust, takes too many sacks. He's been better with that, but you're just not getting the efficiency there. So I think it is a bit of a risk to roll with Rodgers again.
As of right now, as we sit on New Year's Day, about 3.5 months, almost 4 months away from the NFL draft that will be in Pittsburgh in late April, is there a quarterback in this class that you feel good about in that 18 to 22 range? Because we know that's where they're going to pick. They always pick there. But is there somebody there that actually makes sense and it's not a reach like we saw back in 2022?
Ty Simpson from Alabama seems like the guy. I think, you know, Fernando Mendoza is getting all the hype. He'll probably be he'll be in the top five. Dante Moore is interesting from Oregon. He'll be a top five pick, I think, whenever he comes out, but he's younger and we'll see if he decides to come out. He's probably got more of an opportunity to go back to Oregon. And then Simpson's the interesting one where he doesn't have a lot of experience, but he's extremely talented as far as running the offense. Not the most physically talented, but I think he has a chance to be a good NFL quarterback. And maybe some teams, because of he doesn't have the physical tools that are outstanding, maybe he's available there and it makes sense, especially if you could redshirt him for a year.
At the quarterback position, Lamar Jackson will play on Sunday night. He told reporters earlier today that he's good to go. I mean, where do you think he is health-wise, you know, a percentage, Steve? Do you think he's even at 75% with all of the ailments he's had this year?
He hasn't felt 75% all season. He feels like, you know, 50, 60% all season. And honestly, with him, if you lose a couple steps, it's a big part of his game. All the way back to week 3, it felt like he just didn't have the same escapability. You don't have those games where he's running for a buck 40 like he has at various points. So I think it's a factor. And then, you know, with Baltimore, you just have to figure out what their game plan is going to be. Are they going to feed Derrick Henry like they did last week against the Packers? Well, they kind of tried that against the Steelers. They did give him 25 carries, but Pittsburgh did a pretty good job of containing him. So it's going to be interesting to see what Baltimore does, how much they trust Lamar. They tend to get a little bit more pass heavy against the Steelers. And I don't think that would go well for them. I think that's what the Steelers would want is Lamar Jackson trying to win from the pocket snap after snap. And I think Tomlin and the Steelers have done a pretty good job overall against him other than those last two games last season.
And what is it about John Harbaugh that when he coaches in these big games against the Steelers, he seems to outsmart himself. Like it's almost like the coaching matchup in the Waterboy where he looks across at Mike Tomlin and he's like intimidated and he goes down like a stupid well of decisions. Why does it seem like he always does that?
We had Pony on our show yesterday, actually, and we were looking for all of the Mike Tomlin trends. Like, what are all the trends? Because he is radically consistent. It is unbelievable. Thursday nights and road games here and home dogs there. And so there's so much consistency in these games. And I think the Steelers just have a feel for Lamar. Again, Lamar made some great throws, I think, in the late regular season game last year and then in the playoff game. But the Steelers do a good job of creating low percentage shots there. And I think Harbaugh just goes through these cycles where they've got this incredible run game. And when they're at their best, they're like a pitcher that has four pitches working. Like, you just don't know what's coming. But they do tend to just get more one-dimensional in some of these big games where it's like, oh, I forgot I had Derrick Henry on Sunday Night Football against the Patriots. So it's not just against the Steelers, but it is something the Ravens have to stay. Like, they've got really good balance on offense at their best, and they need to stick with that all the way through the game.
Who wins Sunday night, Steve? Who wins the AFC North and goes to the playoffs?
Because Pony reminded us that Tomlin as a home underdog is incredible. I'm just going with all the trends, right? Can't win in Cleveland. Can't win on Thursday night. I said they were going to win against the Colts because they're a home and they're an underdog. And, you know, the Colts are hot and the Steelers, you know, Tomlin's about to get fired. So, of course, they're going to play their three best games after that. So they're back, right? Things are low. Things are looking bleak. So Pittsburgh's coming back and winning the North on Sunday night.
There we go. A division championship coming to town as of Sunday night around 11:30. Thank you, Steve. Hope you have a great New Year.
Yep. Happy New Year. Thanks, Donnie.
There we go. Steve Palazzolo from the 33rd team. Did you know that about Steve, Dom? A big old school wrestling fan.
Yeah, I did know that, and I'm glad that you talked about the library being, you know, disappearing into thin air now, because it's a travesty and something that needs to be talked about.
Yeah, I think that's something I'm going to put up for the potential poll at 5:30 for Total Request Thursday, because that also will not take a holiday break. So I will put that out there for people to vote on. They will have under an hour to make that vote. But yeah, it's a little bit concerning. Like, where's that stuff going to go? And why do I feel like we are going to lose like 50% of it?
Well, we already lost a bunch of all the Monday Night Raw episodes when those left Peacock.
Yeah, I want all 1,500 episodes or whatever, you know, number they're on at this point. I want every SmackDown episode so I can just randomly go back and watch one. I want everything. That's why the WWE Network was so perfect, so ahead of its time it was when it came around in 2014.
$9.99.
I know, it was masterful. It was awesome. Like, you do not understand how excited I was. That was senior year of high school for me. They brought it around. I was buzzing. I was gassed up when they brought WWE Network into the fold. 412-928-9370 to join the conversation. Coming up in just a minute, a Donnie football debrief that will be led by our guy Dom DiTommaso. That is next on Sports Radio 93.7 The Fan.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
RingCentral will completely transform the way you work. It gives you built-in AI across all your business conversations. Your phone system has an AI receptionist that answers calls 24/7. Your video meetings have AI that takes notes instantly. Even your contact center has AI, so you can help customers faster. It all comes together in one reliable platform for effortless AI communications. See for yourself at ringcentral.com. RingCentral, voice of your business.
8 Jaguars, 4 weeks. Yamava Resort and Casino at San Manuel is giving away 2 Jaguars every Thursday starting January 8th. Club Serrano members, play to earn entries for your chance to win a new luxury crossover SUV. Join for free today and don't miss your chance to drive off in a Jaguar. More cars, more chances to win, only at Yamava Resort and Casino, celebrating its 40th anniversary. You in? Details at yamava.com. Must be 21 to enter. Please gamble responsibly.
You hear that music every day around 4:30. That means it is time for a Donnie football debrief. But with me in the host chair and Dom DiTommaso in the producer chair, he is running the debrief yet again today. So, Dom, what do you got?
Thank you, Donald. The debrief, January 1, 2026, New Year's Day. So I have two things for you, Mr. Football, on a very big college football day. The first is an opinion that I have, and I will put it out to you. I don't know if you and I have ever talked about this, but it is an opinion I have had for years. I've said it on this station a bunch of times, and I tweeted it out 10 minutes ago. And I want to get your thoughts on it. It is a travesty that the Rose Bowl, taking place right now, is not the site of the national championship every year. It is the best venue in sports. I think it's the best sporting event in sports. This is something that college football should rally around. The way the NFL has the Super Bowl, golf has the Masters, the baseball has the World Series, the Final Four, and college basketball. Everybody has these special events for their championship game, and all college football has is the national championship game. What is that? This is a standalone day for the sport, the Rose Bowl, which means everything, on New Year's Day. It should be the site of the Natty every single year. The fact it's not sucks, and I can't believe this hasn't been figured out already.
Now, as much as I want to agree with that,
oh no,
if you keep it on New Year's Day, how would you schedule it out?
Well, I have that all figured out.
Okay.
You move Army-Navy to before the season. There is no reason for it to be played in November/December. I don't care what anybody says. The game's going to be played. It doesn't matter when it's played. Play it week zero. Then you move the conference championship games to Thanksgiving weekend, and then you go right into the playoffs. And if my math is correct, which it's always in question if my math is correct, the Natty should line up on January 1st every day. Because you also don't need the 2 weeks off in between. It's stupid. We're already seeing all these teams that have byes lose anyway. So we don't need them. Just condense everything, make it flow smoothly, and then put your biggest game at your biggest event.
I do think that it should be... It should be... Since it's called the granddaddy of them all, we know it is the most prestigious bowl game every single season, that it does only make sense for it to have the game's biggest game.
It makes no sense. This is a quarterfinal game, Donnie. It's not even a semifinal game.
And I know it's on like a rotation, the way that they do it with the bowl games every year, and you know what ends up being the playoff, final, like the national championship game. I agree with you that the Rose Bowl just they make it out to be such a massive deal. They already make it feel like a bigger deal than all of the other bowl games. It feels bigger than the Cotton Bowl. It feels bigger than the Orange Bowl, Sugar Bowl, Peach Bowl, all of the other New Year's Six bowl games. That, yeah, I think it would be easiest to just say the Rose Bowl, like, national championship game every single year. The national championship at the Rose Bowl.
Yes. Like you said, it has so much aura and mystique. They have their A-team, Fowler and Herbstreit, do it every year. Game day is in the Rose Bowl when they do game day this morning. They have pretty much everything in the making of a national championship game except the national championship. It's so dumb. But I still enjoy the game. And just watching it now on TV, we have it on all three TVs in here. That's how important it is.
Is there even another game going on?
I don't think so.
There is. I think with the college football playoff, they normally just make sure those are the only games going on, so they're all standalone.
It is weird the game not taking place at 5, and I believe it's because ESPN wanted to line up sunset in the mountains in Pasadena with the second half of the game in between the third and fourth quarter, which I guess wouldn't even matter today because it's raining and cloudy.
See, my thought was that they wanted to have the other game get moved up by a little bit.
The Sugar Bowl.
So that you could get more of an audience in there entrenched in that game in its entirety. Because sometimes we'll get a start time of like 9 p.m. for a big college football game. And I mean, that's a tough ask for people on the East Coast. I mean, I know you're still well in your youth, but I mean, to ask people to stay up until almost 1 a.m. by the time that game wraps up.
It's difficult.
Yeah.
It's very difficult.
Especially if you're working the next day.
Right.
I know it's normally around New Year's Day, but, you know, say if, I mean, aren't you doing the early morning show tomorrow?
Correct.
So, I mean, you know, say if that game, I know it's only like an hour difference, but if that game didn't get kicked off until 9:15 because the Rose Bowl went a little bit long, you're not watching that entire game.
Or I'm getting 2 hours of sleep.
Yeah. It leaves you with very little option. So I thought that was one of the reasons why.
I'm sure that factored into it. I read that it was because of the sunset, but I'm positive that that also played a part in it. All right, second thing. Actually, we'll get to the second thing in a second. Another opinion I had, Donnie, last night. I don't know if you feel this way. Why is the Cotton Bowl not played at the Cotton Bowl? The Cotton Bowl Classic is played in Dallas in Jerry Jones' stadium. Play it at the damn Cotton Bowl. What is that?
They've made so many like commercialized changes to the bowl games over the years. Like, we joke about all the sponsor names. We laughed about it with Pomp last hour. You know, it's just so much. It's just so different now that, I mean, again, another testament to the Rose Bowl. That's one of the only places where like the venue is kind of the story as much as the game. Like, people hype up the venue of the Rose Bowl. There's so many great aerial shots. You're going to see the two different shades of red all day today with Alabama and Indiana.
Oh, yeah.
I feel like you get those shots with other games, but they make it a bigger deal with the Rose Bowl than they do with any of those other ones.
The Rose Bowl just does it right. I feel like the Cotton Bowl could be somewhat near there, but they play it in an NFL stadium. Anyway, last thing here, Donald. I was thinking about the Sugar Bowl. We were just talking about it. And I'll probably put out a poll on Twitter later tonight because I am curious where people stand and I'm curious where you stand. So with Miami advancing to the semifinals, they will play the winner of tonight's Georgia-Ole Miss game. As a viewer, and you're not really a diehard fan of either of these teams, so you're just watching for entertainment and storylines. What interests you more in the semifinals? If Georgia won and we got Carson Beck with Miami versus his old team in Georgia, or if Ole Miss won and started going on a run without Lane Kiffin?
As cool as it would be to see Ole Miss go on a run without Lane Kiffin, I'm taking Carson Beck against his old team, which you can get occasionally now in college athletics because the transfer portal and everything is, you know, such a, you know, it's just mayhem that you're going to start to get that year after year at this point. I want to see that, I think, as just an outside viewer more than anything. You know, I want to see a quarterback that was at his previous school, couldn't get the job done, and now he has a chance to knock them out of the playoff. Yeah, I'm going Carson Beck against Georgia.
Yeah, I've gone back and forth because they're both excellent. Either way, Miami-Georgia, Miami-Ole Miss, there's scenarios that are riveting. But yeah, I was curious. I was like, these are two really epic storylines that we could be getting tonight.
Yeah, I'm going Carson Beck in Georgia there, like almost in a landslide. For me, I want to see the quarterback take on the old school that he was at. I mean, I feel that translates at really like in any capacity. I mean, think about Aaron Rodgers against the Packers, Aaron Rodgers against the Jets, Tom Brady against the Patriots when we got that. Anytime you see a quarterback of really any notoriety, and Carson Beck, one of the notable names in college athletics in the last couple of years, when he gets a chance to play his old team, I think that's very easy intrigue, and you know the stories kind of write themselves.
Right. You know, the other thing about Carson Beck, and listen, he is not a bad-looking dude by any stretch of the imagination.
He kind of is.
You said it, not me. And he's a great athlete, quarterback at Miami. How he was able to pull a Cavender twin is beyond me. I guess being a quarterback gives you powers.
Well, as Brent Musburger once said, it pays to be a quarterback.
Yes, it does. Yes, it does. And I'll just leave it at that. That was another thought I had at our New Year's Eve party last night. We were throwing that around.
All right, Dom. That was a fun one. Coming up, we will hear from both the coordinators from the South Side, Arthur Smith, Terrell Austin. We listen to what they said to the Steelers media. Coming up next, Ray Fittipaldo from the Post-Gazette. He will join us around 5:15. TRT at 5:30. The poll is out there. Four things that you can vote on for what you want us to talk about at 5:30. Hodgepodge comes up to finish the show as well. Donnie Football in for the guys here on Sports Radio 93.7 The Fan. First, fan weather brought to you by Myers Law Group, Pittsburgh's choice for affordable legal solutions. Cold and cloudy, low of 15 tonight.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
RingCentral's AI receptionist uses voice AI to answer on the first ring, so you'll never miss a call again. In just a few minutes, you can personalize your own AI receptionist to answer questions, route calls, schedule appointments, and even send texts in multiple languages. Plus, it's easy to scale. Create unlimited AI receptionists across any phone system. It's all powered by one reliable platform for effortless AI communications. See for yourself at ringcentral.com. RingCentral, voice of your business.